Chaz Chop experienced his first shooting death. So how do people feel about that little government now? Militants stopped the ambulance at their wall, bringing the dead victim to them, even though the mayor struck a deal as they let in first responders. So right, Brad Johnson, who is a former CIA operative or operations officer, and he joins us right now. He has started a group, by the way, called Intelligence Reform. Their website is Intel, I-N-T-E-L, reform.org. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Brad, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Jerry, it's a real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Sure. And I feel we could talk about a few different issues since I've got you on the line, including perhaps John Bolton's new book. But let's begin with this so-called mini country of Chaz Chop. You are now leaving the United States, so said the sign, and instead you're entering what used to be called Chaz, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Then they changed it to CHOP, which stands for Capitol Hill something or other. I don't know. I don't even know. Well, what does the CHOP stand for?
You know, they've been arguing back and forth on precisely that detail, so I would say it's not a hundred percent clear, but some people have been making the O occupied and different things. So as far as I know, it's not 100% decided upon among themselves.
Okay, now for those who've been living in a cave for the last few weeks, this is a three or four, something like that, block area in the city of Seattle, which the police essentially abandoned, and the mayor encouraged them essentially to abandon that particular precinct, and then these people took over. They have all kinds of tents there and porta-potties, and people bring in them food. They also have borders, which is interesting, and they secure those borders. But I understand recently there was a killing there, and so the Summer of Love, so-called, as the mayor of Washington or Seattle put it, the Summer of Love may be coming to a halt. Tell us more about Chaz Chop.
That's exactly right, and kind of some of the interesting aspects of it are that only a few days before this fatal shooting where the individual died, the city of Seattle, the mayor, had negotiated a deal with these militia groups that are running this occupied zone, and the deal was, you know, shrink down to a somewhat smaller size, and so they had like originally a 7-square city block area, which they then negotiated down to, say, a 4-square city block area, with the understanding that then emergency vehicles would be allowed to get in and the police would be allowed to get in whenever that was necessary. So 3 or 4 days or a week or so after this agreement had been reached, this individual was shot. And what happens when the emergency vehicles and police come in to try and respond to the shooting? They weren't allowed in, and they actually had a wall of people appear and start throwing rocks and being abusive towards the police and the ambulance and wouldn't let them in. So what happened was, in the meantime, this individual who was shot was laying there dying. Now, the full investigation hasn't been run yet, so we don't know precisely when the person died. But, of course, what you want is the ambulance to get to that person at the absolute first moment possible so that if his life can be saved, it is saved. And in this particular case, it was not. Once the body was taken out of this occupied zone and given over to the ambulance and the police, the individual was declared dead right on the spot. So we don't know. Is it their fault for not letting the ambulance come in that this person is dead? We don't know. But that will be determined at some point. Don't know if it'll be made public. And immediately on the heels of that, another individual was shot. And same thing, that individual lived, but is now refusing to cooperate with police and isn't telling what happened. So it's turning into a real mess, and the mayor of Seattle now has a terrible problem on her hands and is really, really starting to look like a fool and may have just completely destroyed herself politically. We'll see how this turns out. Even in Seattle, you can destroy yourself politically on the left. So she's got a problem she's got to deal with and is now talking about taking back the zone. So we'll see how this plays out.
Well, it's all Donald Trump's fault, they would say.
Yeah, naturally, yes. Yes, the drought is Donald Trump's fault.
Everything is Trump's fault. It's amazing. Now, let me ask you this. I understand one of the shooting victims, and I don't know if it's the one who died, was somebody who just graduated from high school over the weekend.
Yes, there was an older individual, which is, I believe, the person that died, and the other one was the shooting victim that survived is the younger of the two. And, yeah, it's really a mess, and I just don't know. They've got these armed militia wandering through the streets there that are this supposed security, and they're the ones manning these border checkpoints where they don't, where they're stopping the police. And these people are wandering around with the precise weapons that the left always complains about, because they're going around with AR-15s, which are not an assault rifle, but they're a long gun that have an appearance similar to an assault rifle. And so they're the ones using these things now to patrol this area, which I might add, this is where some of these problems have begun in Europe, in Germany and France and many other countries, where they have these no-go zones that are then controlled by Muslim extremists and used as a base to mount terrorist attacks that take place in other areas, zones around the no-go areas, and also in other cities nearby. So this is a dangerous, dangerous precedent, and I'm actually stunned that the public hasn't gotten more angry over this than they have. And perhaps the danger represented by allowing this type of thing to continue isn't as apparent as it should be.
You know, Brad, I think part of the problem is maybe just information overload. It just seems like every day that goes by, there's some, you know, new terrible development. But recently in the city of Washington, D.C., they painted on the St. John's Church, a historic church, which they tried to burn down a few weeks ago, the rioters did, but they painted C-H-A-Z. No, it wasn't Chaz. It was something else, but it was kind of like it. They wanted to make that an autonomous zone as well, but that did not happen.
Correct. They were attempting to do so, and I just, this is so reminiscent of what we've seen out of the extreme left many times throughout history. We've seen, you know, the Soviet Union in the old days and the Nationalist Socialist Party of Germany, the Nazi Party. These people have all come out and burned books and paintings and relics and things that they don't believe in and stand against. And this is the same thing that we're seeing now. It's the barbarians are in control, and they're essentially burning books wherever they can. They're trying to destroy our history, and for better or worse, our history is our history. And one of the things that they just did was attack a statue of President Jackson, and who is also general in the military and the War of 1812 hero with the British and so on. Well, let me say, my family is Cherokee. I'm Native American, and my great grandparents were taken out of their home at gunpoint and force marched on the Trail of Tears out to the reservation in Oklahoma. So that has particular meaning for me. But I do not look at this and say tear down his statues, because that's erasing history. I want everybody to remember and know every piece of the history. President Jackson was a man, and he had his good points and bad points. He did a lot of wonderful things, and he also did some bad things. And we should remember all sides of this. History is to be learned from, not to pretend it didn't exist and ignore. And that's why I say what we have here are the barbarians at the gate trying to destroy history and trying to cover up things that they politically now at this point disagree with. And so they're going to unlearn all of the things that we've learned from history and make the same mistakes over and over.
You know, it's interesting that the barbarians are not at the gates. The barbarians are in the gates. Do you think there's a sense in which it starts with the statues? So it's statues today, but tomorrow it's human beings.
That's absolutely right. And you can already see it. You have a very similar, and I paint this comparison quite often, because if you look at early Nazi Germany, what was the very first thing they started to do? They started to place blame on a certain group of people.
Jews.
They started to dehumanize that group of people, which, of course, I'm referring to the Jews. And then afterwards, they started taking them prisoner and beating them up and all of that. And then they start killing them. And then they create wholesale murder. And we are seeing the early stages of precisely that against white people in the United States. They're being blamed for all of the problems. We see white people being attacked and beat up for no reason other than the fact that they're white. And the truth is, I just don't believe there's that much racism in the United States anymore. Most people want to get along with everybody else. You know, there may be some personal issues where you don't like something that someone did, but as a whole, I think most black people and white people and everybody else in this country are perfectly happy just to get along and live their lives. But this is something that's being politically used. They have to create as socialism and communism always do, they have to create an enemy to blame for everything. And that's what we're seeing. Those same early stages that the Nazis did against Jews, we're seeing take place right now in the good old U.S. of A. against white people for no other reason than political reasons.
Mm. We have about 4 minutes left, and I definitely want to have you comment on Bolton's book. But before I leave the subject of Chaz and Chop and the riots in the streets and the statues and the iconoclasm, what do you think the impact will be on, let's say, the 2020 election as the American people see all this?
Well, I think everyone, I mean, any responsible person has to look at what's going on and what the left is doing and just be shocked and hopefully made very uncomfortable by what they see. So I'm pretty certain, I have a high level of confidence that this is one of those things that's having a lot of negatives that you know, the polls are always slanted and kind of unimportant right now. But they're using those to try and say that this is creating groundswell and it's getting a lot of popularity. But I don't think that's true. And let me say, there's only been two recent polls in the United States that are real, actual, significant polls that are 100% certain. There's no error, margin of error, any of that. And those polls are called elections. And those two elections took place out in California. And those were for two congressional seats that were vacant. And both of those were won by Republicans in a seat that had been held for decades by Democrats. And that is a real poll. And that, I think, is extraordinarily significant. And I think we're going to see President Trump win very big, and we're going to see him have very long coattails, as they like to say out in Washington, D.C., and we're going to see all the down-ballot elections do very well for the Republican conservative side, which is, I'm referring to governor's races and Senate and Congress and even state legislatures and all of the different elected offices. I think you're going to see a turnout that's very, very high by a very enthusiastic conservative base, and I don't think you have that excitement on the left. I mean, Joe Biden, let's face it, I mean, the poor man, I don't wish this on anybody, but I mean, there's clear signs of early senility in the man, and he has problems, so he's not going to do well as a candidate. He's highly flawed, which is what we saw with Hillary Clinton. She was also a highly flawed candidate and got, you know, trounced. It wasn't a close election, and I think we're going to see an even bigger win this time around for President Trump.
2 minutes left. John Bolton's book.
Well, John Bolton's book is, I think I could describe it in two words, and that's nothing burger. And let me just say, John, one of the things that, you know, we all recognize is kind of a universal truth, and that's follow the money. And, John Bolton made a deal, for a $2 million book deal.
Wow.
And that book, in order to sell, and it's by, Simon Schuster, most of these publishing companies in New York are very liberal, so they're very happy to have a book against President Trump come out at this stage just before elections, and so they were able to pay, they were willing to pay John Bolton a big $2 million, write him a big $2 million check for the book. So that book, now John Bolton is on the hook to produce something that criticizes President Trump. So that's what we've seen him do. And let me say, now, John Bolton, I've not met personally, but I know a number of people in his circle, and I know how he is at meetings, and it's things that's also are things that are also heavily publicized. And he's somebody that's kind of a hard-charging, straightforward guy, and he's always pushed for things like overthrowing the government in Iran and so on. Now, he takes a look at a guy like Trump, and he cannot understand Trump as a master negotiator, and so if Trump kind of flips around between things and does all of this, and what a guy like John Bolton, who's a very straightforward kind of guy, I'm almost a little bit of a bull in the china shop sort of guy, he looks at these things that Trump is doing, trying to find weak points in negotiating and strong points in negotiating, he looks at that as chaos. Mm. So if you look at the majority of his criticism out of his book, it's stuff like that. It's personal opinions of a style of management that John Bolton doesn't like and doesn't agree with. That doesn't mean Trump isn't doing a great job. And the fact that the way he's taken on the Chinese for their intellectual property theft and all of these sorts of things is we haven't had a president this strong doing that good of a job in decades. So I'm thrilled by President Trump and quite disappointed in what I see out of John Bolton. Now, I don't blame him. A $2 million infusion of money, you know, that's a big deal to any normal person. And so, you know, I don't blame him for wanting the money and writing a book to get it. But, you know, I also don't look at what he's done as important or significant or any sort of actual damaging threat to the Trump presidency or candidacy.
IntelReform.org for more information. Thanks so much for being with us, Brad. All the best.
Thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure.
You too. Bye-bye.